So, guys.
Hey.
Hello, Bon. Tell me stories.
You're doing it wrong. You have to do the introduction and the official and the whether the thing and the stuff.
The
I'm just
theme song.
I'm
The
not
theme
doing
song.
it wrong. This is warm.
I can make a theme song. We can
Yeah, go
I
for
can
it. Make it
write.
up. Make it right
Too
now.
long
You
didn't
should write it right now.
listen. Too long didn't listen. The great podcast on Giant Bomb. I have nothing else.
Better than
That was
all the
good.
other.
Can we get a dubstep version, please? Okay, well then, let's just jump right into this thing. Hello, listeners. Welcome to TLDL episode 11. I know it's been a really long time, but we're finally back doing another one of these silly, silly things. With me
We
today
killed
is.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah! Again? Actually,
when
the last
did
one
that
we
happen?
did?
No, he came back and then we killed him again.
Yeah, just this is the sequel.
Just like a typical movie villain.
Because the last time that we did this was on the night that that's how long we haven't done this.
Oh man, and Duke Nukem came out. It feels
what
like
the
an
hell are we
eternity since we did a
oh
podcast.
god no
So is this our like
oh cool so
15th
this is the
yeah.
This is the Duke Nukem spoiler cast, right?
God.
Where we talk about like anything and everything about the game and what's been going on with it, because let's face it, that's
you
like
guys
the
remember
biggest
those
game missing.
boobs in that?
Oh man,
do you remember the part where they made the penis joke?
Boobs everywhere.
That was my favorite part.
Where he was
we
in the
totally
strip
fucked up
club
on the
and then
introductions, by the way.
He was getting a lap dance, and then this alien comes down and cock blocks him, and he's all like, "Oh, damn it!"
When is Duke Nukem in my game? Sucks. There you go. That's
Yeah,
my review.
thank you, Vid, for reminding me that we haven't done introductions yet, because you had to
Oh,
interrupt
yeah.
the first time,
Sorry.
asshole. Well, anyway, if you hadn't figured it out, that's Vidiot, who all of a sudden can't say anything now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, that is me. They got distracted by something.
Fuck.
Let's just redo the whole thing.
No,
Do it again.
we're still going. We're still
Don't
doing
stop
this.
For nothing.
And then we have side scroller.
That's me.
Who's also a second-person shooter on the Giant Bomb forums, in case anybody was curious. Because you would be, right?
No one is curious.
I'm curious.
I'm always curious. Next up is Dolphin.
Hey.
That was enthusiastic as shit, Dolph. Did he...
Hey.
Okay. And last but not least is Aussie.
Yo, what's up?
There you go. That's how you do it. And I'm your lovable
That's
and fantastic host, Bon Bolapti, and let's just get right into this thing. What happened since we last were doing one of these things?
Duke Nukem came and killed Osama bin Laden, and then I played Ellie Noir, and then stuff happened.
I found the Master Sword. Again.
E3.
I found Jesus.
I played through the entirety of Shadows of the Damned and Alice in the last 5 days.
Oh man,
that's kind of crazy.
Those games are exciting. Shadows
How big
of
the
are the
boners?
They are.
How big?
They
did
were
your
both
boner
good
get?
For their own.
So, I have a question
Oh,
regarding
it
Alice.
Got really big.
I have a question regarding Alice. That game has been getting like a lot of mixed reviews, and I'm kind of like on the fence of whether or not I should check that game out. And I'm just wondering, like, your
Right.
take on that game. And like perhaps maybe like why it's getting so many mixed reviews, because like one side says it's really pretty awesome, the other side's like platforming sucks, and I don't know, I'm really confused by it.
I don't know. Like, I think what a lot of the reviews mark it down for is just because of the gameplay, which I admit is probably the most important part of a video game. But the art design in Alice is so good that it does almost negate the gameplay. And it's not even like the gameplay is bad. It just gets really tedious because you're fighting the same enemies throughout the entire game, and it is a really long game. But the environment changes up enough that it's like you never really get sick of seeing what's going to be new in the next chapter and everything.
So, like, can you give like examples of like the repetition?
Well, yeah, because there's these things that kind of look like the mask blob monster in Spirited Away that attack you, and there's like three varieties of those, and they keep recycling them throughout the entire game, and you'll fight them over and over again, and two of them are kind of boss monsters, so that I say they take like longer than normal enemies to kill, and they just keep throwing those at you, so it's like fighting the same mini boss over and over again every combat scenario you're even put in that game.
But is like the is the actual combat itself like satisfying, or is it, or does that even, or does that even get tedious alongside with fighting these things over and over again?
I actually, I don't know, I thought the combat was pretty good because like time dodging and everything, like you need to stay on your toes to do it. It's just after a while you memorize all the enemies' patterns and it just kind of becomes a chore because you know how to deal with everything by the end of the game. But if they had like more enemy types, I think the combat would have been good enough to carry a lot more.
How is the game checkpointed? Like, is it just one
No,
room and you go to a next loading screen and
it's checkpointed really well because during the platforming sections, if you fall, it'll just like pop you right back at the beginning of the jumping section. Like, even really close checkpointing on the platforming stuff, because you can like jump from one platform to the other, and then now the checkpoint will be on that platform and things. It's not room based. And the combat's generally just like you get stopped for combat a lot, and you need to like fight all the enemies to continue. And then if you die in combat, it'll just put you right back at the beginning of that scenario. So, yeah, the checkpointing is really good in there.
How do they break up the levels, though? Like, is it like chapter one and this is the theme, chapter two, this is the theme, or is it like
Well, yeah,
series?
okay. So, as far as the plot in the game goes, it's like Alice has recovered her sanity from the events of last game, so now she's just running around, kind of being half crazy around the town, and she keeps slipping back into Wonderland. So you get these five chapters, and in between every chapter, you play through a section in reality, but each section in reality becomes like increasingly surreal until it's like you're not sure what reality is anymore. But so that's how they break up the chapters. And each chapter
Wow.
has, I think, like about two different locations in it.
So it's like Victorian Inception.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, sometimes the game starts out really dark, but then you get into the chapters and it seems like it's a lot less dark than the original Alice game because it just kind of gets into its Wonderland philosophy, and it becomes like not even a twist on Wonderland as much of just like a straight up Alice in Wonderland video game.
But here's the question I have. Because the first Alice, obviously, American McGee game, and the second game, it's just got his name on it, but he's not really.
Yeah, on the credits for the game, the only thing he was listed under was original concept creator.
Okay,
Isn't
but
that
so
his
like the.
studio in China, or where is it's Spicy Horse, right? So like where is that studio?
Yeah.
I don't remember offhand. Because if you've been following like how what he's been doing the last few years, like with Bad Day LA and stuff, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I really don't know. I don't follow American McGee that much. I mean, I never even played the original Alice until like the brief period I played it before playing the new one. So I really don't know
Does
anything
that
about
game
American McGee Studio.
does the original game hold up today? Because that is also packaged with Madness Returns.
Right. It's still playable. I think a lot of what made the game good in the day, like, were the art assets, which have aged considerably. So I don't think you have as much incentive to go back and play
Are
it,
you
but I think
suggesting
the
that
game
it's
is
an
still
old
definitely
game?
playable. Yes, that is what I am suggesting.
You don't say.
It's
I
just
was not aware
a
of that.
theory, though, you know.
Are you suggesting the Quake 2 engine is not a modern engine?
No, I still think the Quake 2 engine is the most cutting-edge engine in the industry
Oh,
today.
all right. Well, at least we got that clarified. All right, next sub.
I'm glad we got
Osama
that
bin
sub.
Laden. We'd. Osama bin Laden. Dirk came down and killed Osama bin Laden. That's what we learned.
Wait, so you're telling me that we can make a really impressive Osama bin Laden game with the Quake 2 engine?
Yeah, that's like, what do you mean by Osama bin Laden game? Like, would you play as Osama bin Laden?
Yes,
Isn't
I
there
would
that?
play
Isn't that?
an Osama bin Laden life sim with the Quake 2 engine.
That's kind of messed up.
Wait,
It would
why
just be like
is...
how long can you survive in a cave? Or not even a cave, a
Yeah!
mansion. It's just you sit in a mansion and have people serve you.
It would kind of
Like
it
the
would
Sim.
actually kind of play like that Dungeon Keeper game. You remember that one? Where you have to set up all these
Oh,
traps
dude.
and
Yeah.
distractions or whatever for
Yeah.
people invading your. That's totally what
Wait,
it would be
oh.
like.
Let's make that game.
All right, new game comes.
Done.
Let's make it
Let's
happen.
do it.
We're gonna do the Osama bin Laden life sim. You're gonna be able to
Yeah,
sit and
and
watch yourself on TV. It's gonna be awesome.
exactly.
With
And
Kinect support. With
speaking of
Kinect
support.
relevant things, speaking of relevant things, who's been playing something new and fresh and fun?
Not me. I've been playing Duke Nukem Forever,
That's like
which is
that is
neither
the
of
fresh.
which is neither of the things that you just said.
Do explain.
Do I
I'm
have to?
sure everybody wants to hear about Duke Nukem
Do I
Forever.
have to? Do it honestly.
I heard it was
Honestly.
really good.
Yeah.
Shut up, Aussie.
I heard it was like the
Did
game of
you
the year
cry?
12 years ago.
Oh, God.
Did you cry at the end of Duke Nukem Forever?
You know what I did after I finished Duke Nukem Forever? I went to the bathroom and then I came back and then I installed it and then I looked in the mirror afterwards and thought really hard on my life and
Shed a single
got a
tear.
beer and sat into a corner and slowly cried myself to sleep. That's pretty much Duke Nukem Forever in a nutshell.
That sounds like a proper ending for
Sounds like
that
my Sundays.
game. Yeah, basically, it's called doing a George Prasad, so George Prasad, creator of Duke Nukem Forever.
George Fassad?
Prasad, whatever the hell his last name. Can't
Zing.
remember. God, that game is. I can't. Do you want to hear about it? Because I like literally like I sat down and I just wrote extensively on it and why it's bad and it's just I like if you okay I can
There
do
we
this.
go.
God,
Go
if
read
you
the book
enjoy.
out loud. It's intentionally bad in a
Don't.
way that mocks not only modern action movies, but the modern first-person shooter as well.
Do you mean it's crappy for a point? Like it's you play it
Yeah,
and you're
yeah.
like it makes you want to play better games?
It's a parody
Like
of good gameplay.
at one point during the game, you go out of the casino and there's like this truck that's nearby and like a soldier comes up and he's like, Duke, we got your power armor ready and the back door of the truck is open, and there's the Master Chief power armor. Like it's just there, and Duke's
Oh,
like,
so it takes place in the Halo universe.
I don't need no power armor. And in a way, he's right because there's health regeneration in the game, and it's clearly ripped right out of Halo. So, but again,
Power
it's
armor
like,
is for sissies.
yeah, but to even like consider to even like think for a second that the writers were sitting down and were like, we're in the same league of Halo is just, I can't, God, like, ah,
When
Duke
do you think the Halo when do you think the
could,
Halo disc was added into the games on the 15-year development
Duke,
cycle?
oh, fuck, I don't know that whole, and that's another thing with this game. It's just like in when I was writing about it, I referred to it as like this Frankenstein monster, and that's like the best like description of it that I can think of, because when you're playing this thing, it's like you see art assets that you just know were not made in the last 5 years. Like you walk up to like a truck like really close up, and it's like, God, what? You sure think to yourself, like, God, what decade was this part of the game made in? And God, what part? Like it's just. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, and I remember you were talking about the graphics a while ago, and I was like trying to defend it before everyone knew how bad the game
No,
was. And then
but
I actually went and like looked at the videos, and I was like, "Oh my God, you're right about
yeah,
everything."
yeah, yeah. You get some of the textures, and I was running it on my PC at like the most highest texture quality available. You get up to some of these textures, and it's embarrassing. Like I don't. You get the feeling like some guy at Gearbox was like, this was a texture that was sitting around for the last like 15 years in the development. At some point, somebody made this, and let's like toss it in. And I don't know if like it was intentional to pay homage to the amount of people and man hours that people were making on Duke Nukem Forever. Like, if I was in that position, I'd be like, let's try to find as much like crap that has been made over the last 15 years for this game and toss it in. But if you don't go into knowing like the history of how this game was made, it's very difficult for me to imagine anyone enjoying this game. Like, if it wasn't for if Duke had nothing to do with this game, like I don't think you would see a single person defending it online.
I'm just saying, do you think anybody has played Duke Nukem Forever without knowing the history behind it? Because I find that
I think it would be pretty hard to believe at this point. But it's from what I read from people defending it, like I get the feeling like a lot of people don't remember Duke Nukem 3D and don't remember that this game was delayed so much because the creators wanted it to be to have the same type of, you know, just technical chops and be able to one up Duke Nukem 3D, because when that game came out, it did a lot of forward thinking things technically. It wasn't the most like intelligent shooter, but like from a level design perspective, there were so many technical things about that game. And then like less than a year, Quake 1 comes out and it becomes completely outdated. So you have this team that over the last like 15 years have been trying to strive to push to make a very modern shooter, something that can one up Duke 3D in the same type of, you know, flash in the pan, and they failed on all of those accounts. And that's
so
the
what
part
you're saying
that
is they spent,
blows me away.
They spent 15 years trying to top Quake 1,
or just not Quake 1, but the same you know, the same cutting edge game that Duke Nukem 3D was. Like to be current, because when that game came out, when Duke Nukem 3D came out, it was like you were doing stuff in the environment while playing a first person shooter that was ahead of its time. You know, we were still on key cards, and there were scripted sequences while you were playing, and it was doing these forward thinking things. And you know, from a humor perspective, it was new and it was fresh. And I get the feeling like, every article that I've read regarding how this game was developed was that they were trying to chase that same type of feeling, that same type of, you know, trying to one up the legacy of Duke Nukem 3D, and to see the end product be nothing more but just a vulgar shooter that does absolutely nothing new, like nothing new, and it doesn't work as a throwback. It doesn't work as a funny game. It doesn't work as it just doesn't work at all. So if you like a shooter that's functional, then you will love Duke Nukem 3D. But there are so many other functional shooters that have been released the last 15 years that you are doing yourself a disservice if you pick up this game. And like I get the feeling seeing the end result, the end product, and seeing how it didn't. It's just really
so angry.
I'm not angry. It's just like no words can like describe as a fan of the original Duke Nukem 3D. Like over the last 15 years, there's really nothing that I can really say more about this game other than the fact that it was just so depressing to play, and it's just so depressing to see people defending it as a mindless, like, shooter with jokes that aren't funny. Like,
a mindless shooter with jokes that aren't funny, that actually are funny, people should just play Shadows of the Damned, which just came
out. Yeah, exactly. And that everything that I've seen about Shadows, what a strange contrast to have those two games coming out roughly at the same time, in which you have Shadows of the Damned, and it doesn't look like the most perfect game, but it at least
jokes
looks
that work.
It has dick jokes that work, and man, the humor in Duke Forever is just, it's so outdated. Like, I cannot, at one point in the game, you're running across the street, and there's this guy who's this other soldier that you're supposed to look after, and his name is Leroy. And you're told, like, nothing bad should happen to Leroy. And then, like, 5 seconds later, he blows up or something, and then Duke's like, damn it, Jenkins. And I'm, like, sitting there, like, a Leroy Jenkins joke. Like, are you... Mass Effect did a joke about that. Like, what? Like, damn, but at the same time, it's depressing, but at the same time, just go check it out, because I don't think go check it out, because there's going to be nothing like Duke Nukem Forever ever again in gaming.
I think I've gotten past my desire to play Duke Nukem Forever.
I know I've just sold you. I know I'm trying to sell you on at least attempting this really shitty game, but I'm telling you, like, the fact that it feels like an unfinished game that was put back together by another developer, like, I can't think of another game that has done that or I can compare it to, and I think that it should be used as, like, an educational tool of some form or another. If you want to look at a train wreck...
What not to do.
Game development and, class on how you don't make a shooter.
Exactly. But, damn... And I'm sorry, like, I like boob jokes.
It's okay, man. You don't have to talk about Duke Nukem.
I like boob jokes. And I like jokes at women's expense.
The way Shadows of the Damned does it is just, like, they just put you in situations that are so ridiculous that you just have to laugh at them. And it's, like, in such a serious world because you're, like, in hell and there's all these scary-looking demons. And then there's just, like, bizarre shit that is really juvenile and immature but hilarious at the same time. Whereas Duke Nukem Forever just seems like it was written by a 12-year-old with no sense of irony whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a 12-year-old from like 1996, and it's you get to the alien pod part with the women that are being impregnated, and like
that looks fucked up. Like, that's not
I'm just kind of like sitting there like, is this supposed to be a joke? Like, it was disturbing.
It's supposed to be.
I saw that part in the quick.
Aliens are fucking our women and doing gross things.
So right, but
what better way to deal with the situation than to just slap some wall titties?
No, it's not all women; it's Duke's women.
Oh, right.
In this game, they're probably all like trademarked and stamped, and probably owns
our
them.
Women are Duke's women.
You know, like there's some sort of weird thing. I mean, all the people in this world that are, like, have it, Duke Nukem Forever. They're so like. Up Duke Nukem's ass, which is the strangest thing.
But they don't play that up enough. Like, that's the part that I was kind of like annoyed with. Like, the beginning of the game, I think, is the best part of the game because you have like a few instances of that, and then after that, it just all the humor goes back to like dick jokes, and not good dick, and movie quotes that are out of context and are not in many cases not said correctly.
It's because I feel like a lot of the, if you're including the Leroy Jenkins thing, and I also heard, you know, Jeff talk about in the Bombcast about the America fuck yeah thing, it's like they're just based on outdated memes, and like memes get old and annoying very, very quickly. So having a game that just has like 5-year-old memes in it is an awful, awful idea.
I was just waiting for the Friday reference, but that never happened.
No, too relevant.
Friday.
Duke Nukem's on Friday? Thursday comes before Friday.
He'll go to an alien spaceship.
My friend is on my right.
I only sit in the backseat. Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
I'm driving this car alone.
One extra year for that.
Fuck you, Aussie.
I have a nice little anecdote. I have a nice little anecdote to segue to the next game that I want to talk about. Because I was in EV Games picking this specific game up.
You're a liar, because EV Games does not exist anymore. I have not seen one.
GameStop.
Hello, welcome to Canada for a second.
Canada.
We had EV Games over here, and they all switched to GameStop.
I'm going to go to Funkoland and pick up some pre-orders.
One GameStop in Vancouver, and I know that there's at least a GameStop in West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton.
Yeah, I don't. They're the same company, though. Like, they're
games all over the place.
I'm sorry. There's a segue here.
Not much you can really do about it because a store is a store. I mean, even if they are the same
Fair
thing
enough.
and they're like all over the place, there's kind of no point in discussing the merits
I
of an
mean,
EB game.
just make it uniform, though.
Yeah, well, long story short, yes, there's EB games in Canada. Get over it.
I got you.
Oh.
Canada's fucked
But
up, man.
And we're not
like,
wizards.
there's no longer a fucking antidote in this story, so I might as well just talk about the next.
Are you gonna segue this? Come on.
Ocarina of Time 3D.
Yeah!
It's out, and me and Aussie have been playing it like crazy.
So good. I love this game.
Well, then why don't you talk
It.
about it?
Would you
No, it
Yeah.
makes me want to buy a 3DS.
Or were you just bringing it up?
No, I was bringing it up so you can talk about it
Okay.
because you've been further than I am, so you probably have more of the same.
Yeah, I've been taking a break recently, but yeah, I'm just totally into this game. I've played this game like I think I've beaten it 15 times on the N64 back in the day. And just the updated visuals and the 3D effects and all that sort of thing, it makes the game way better. Like I usually don't say this for remakes because I generally don't like remakes, but it just and updating textures fixes
Yeah.
games really quickly. It's I don't know, like it's so great. Like the mechanics still work, the story's pretty light, but it's still intact, it's still amazing.
It's still Ocarina, like,
Yeah,
that
it's
you
the
talk
same
about the
game,
story.
but it's just I don't know, like I thought like okay, by now I'll be kind of tired of it. I've seen everything, I've done all the side missions and whatever. But I just go in and I just want to do it all over again. Like it always feels new every time I restart the game. Like I think that's the reason why this game is so like well liked and it still is today.
It's timeless.
It is
Yeah.
really hard to fuck up a formula that already worked. The
That's
only way
true.
that you'd be able to screw this up is if the 3DS was like so fucking ridiculous and its 3D was bullshit. Because you pop that game into your 3DS and you're like, yeah, this is a reason to own one of these things because the game looks fucking impressive with the 3D on, like the depth in it.
Making jumps is easier. Like just I don't even know what it is. I think it looks sharper than if you turn it off because when I switch back to the 2D mode, it kind of seems blurrier for some reason.
Yeah.
Like
No,
I'm not sure if that's
that's just your eyes dying over time, Aussie.
okay. I'm just going
You're
blind
going
in 3D.
blind. That's the
Your
point of this.
glasses now.
Yeah.
But
But
yeah,
no. 3DS makes you blind.
and it's
That's a
not
selling
like
point.
another thing that's really awesome about this thing is that it's not just a silly ass port. Like everything was worked up from the ground up. Like even things that were just 2D objects or whatever in that game, like
The
backgrounds and
backgrounds.
like
And the
Link's
bushes.
house was nothing but a matte painting or whatever. Like everything is modeled and rendered and all that stuff. Like even things far off into the background, like you can see things and they are very clearly 3D objects and not just a picture.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, and the lighting has changed too. It's brighter. Like if you go look at some screenshot comparisons, some of the dungeons, like some of the corners are like unviewable because of the way the lighting worked on the N64, and in the 3DS one, it's lit up and you see it, and there's no mistaking like where to go in the rooms and anything like that. And it's just I don't know. It's so weird to think about it because before it came out, I was excited because I get to play like my favorite game of all time on a handheld. And just thinking about it in retrospect, like if I was a kid and I knew about like one day this game is going to be on a handheld in 3D with updated graphics, like that would just blow my mind. And it does right now. Like I just play it and I just love it. Like there's nothing wrong with the game at all. Like I don't even know what to change to make it better, if it could be better.
Maybe this is just me because I've been trained on the endless supply of Final Fantasy remakes, but I'm kind of like hesitant about the game because I get the feeling like it is such a phenomenal game and it is such a just an important piece of gaming history, and I get the feeling like this might not be like the last time this game is remade in some shape or another. And I'm kind of like hesitant in terms of like going all in and grabbing a 3DS and grabbing this game, even though I kind of really want to.
Well,
But I'm
I th
just
I
thinking down the line. I'm thinking I
well,
can easily see them like
you got
them popping
you
this on
got
a
to look at
virtual
it.
console or something.
You got to look at it this way though. Even if things are being remade for the 3DS, like you're getting it for the 3D mechanic of it. Like if you
And the
were
3D is
worried,
supposed to be really fantastic.
yeah. If you were worried about like getting the next iteration of Ocarina of Time over and over and over again, like then you would probably wait until there is a Wii U version or something like that until you are completely satisfied because it's back onto a console again. I mean, like people are only really going to buy into this stuff because of the 3D-ness of it. And like the fact
Right.
that all these classic N64 games so far are like being put on this thing and reworked to that. Like, I'll be happy to finally play Star Fox 64 for the first time ever on this thing.
Yeah.
And
You've never played
again,
Star
like,
Fox
really?
64?
I've never played it. That's the only one I haven't played yet, and like, I'll be
Star Fox
happy to play it
64.
with. Yeah.
That's all there is to say. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, but like, so you got like this little nostalgic feeling for some of these games because obviously they're Nintendo games and they're great, but like, they get that small mechanic to it, which is probably what's going to make these games replayable for a lot of people.
Well, in the case of Ocarina of Time, like there were so in that game, there were at its time, there were so many forward-thinking design choices and mechanics, specifically like adapting the Zelda formula to a 3D environment. And it's a testament to that game because so many the next like previous Zelda games that come after Ocarina of Time seem to try and copy that formula that Ocarina of Time like laid out to a certain extent, and it's pretty. If you haven't played Ocarina of Time at this point, like I'm really happy that this game got re-released because it demands your attention, especially if you haven't played it before.
And even if you have
Yeah.
been playing like every other Zelda game after Ocarina of Time, you do kind of get that fatigue from
Right.
it because all of the Zelda games since Ocarina of Time have all been using the same engine, like the ones on the console
Not the
anyway.
same engine, but the same design.
No, like it's the same kind of gameplay engine with all like the same kind of mechanics added to it. Yeah, the button layout is different and the visuals look different, but the engine at its core is the exact same thing.
I would
Yeah,
disagree that the N64 engine is the same engine that was used for GameCube games. I don't know the specifics of what Nintendo of their exact software
it's
engines that
magic.
Nintendo uses.
Maybe it was
But I
like
don't
a
think
modified
that's
version
right.
of it.
I think that the design
Regardless,
is the
okay,
same, but
yeah,
I think that they
regardless of the word that I'm
get
using
more
for it,
technical, Bond.
they have been playing out the exact same way. I mean, like
Right,
every
that's my
Zelda
point.
game have
Right.
been hitting the same notes.
And it's a
And
testament to Ocarina of Time that game was so long ago and it laid out that design, and
yeah.
they've been able to have success off of that design for over 10 years.
But because they still use that same design over and over and over again, regardless of how different every Zelda game is, you like I have been feeling that fatigue from playing these Zelda games, and I do kind of want them to change it up a bit. So I was actually kind of hesitant or whatever of getting Ocarina of Time, but you know, playing this game again on this little handheld device in 3D or whatever, it's kind of nice because, you know, it was the first one that did all these things, and it still really holds up.
Has the music been redone, or the sound, or is that still the same?
It sounds the same to
Same.
me.
Oh, that's a shame.
Think they said, I don't know
Nothing
if this
against
is
the soundtrack.
retcon
The
to the
soundtrack's
end.
fantastic, but I would love to hear an orchestrated version of that.
I think the ending, like the credit part, is orchestrated.
That's
I'm not
strange.
100% sure. Yeah,
I'll have to look that
they
up.
didn't do that. There's a whole like article somewhere, I forget where they talk about the music and how they had to adjust like the CPU usage to make the music work because of the way the N64 worked or something like that. I don't know, it's kind of weird. but
I hold nothing against the Ocarina of Time soundtrack. The Ocarina of Time soundtrack is absolutely fantastic.
It's
But
one
I
of
would
the
love
best
I would
still sounds great.
yeah, I would love to hear like an updated. I would like to hear that also get a little bit of an update treatment.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds higher quality, but obviously it's not, you know, new or anything, but
It's still using kind of like a MIDI type thing going on.
yeah. You don't notice it as much though. I don't know if it's just like the way that audio works on the hardware or something, but yeah, it's still the same. But actually, I just remembered, like, one of the issues though with the 3D is there are cases where, you know, when you open a door and it does that whole like cinematic zoom in with the bars and everything. Sometimes, I don't know if it's like with the hardware, but sometimes it goes back into 2D in a weird way. Like you see the separation of the background of like the walls and the dungeon, and then Link isn't 3D anymore. He looks like a piece of paper, like Paper Mario or something, for a split second during those cutscenes. I don't know if that's the hardware or my eyes or something, but like sometimes the game
Again,
does
your
that.
eyes are your eyes are going Aussie.
I don't know, Bond, did you have you ever gotten that? Where like the 3D kind of doesn't stick sometimes?
I actually have to admit that I've been like going back and forth between the 3D and the 2D
Oh,
when I'm
okay.
playing that game because, sorry about that. Because there are times when I am playing the game, like especially since I use the gyroscope in that to look around a lot in first person and like use items and things like that. Whenever I reset it back to where I've been playing it, the 3D kind of goes a little weird on me. Like I'm starting to see the separation of the two images, so I always have to switch it back to 2D for a bit.
Do you
That's a
play it on
design
full
choice I
3D?
found
weird,
weird.
is the fact that they have the gyroscope in there and they want you to play the full game in 3D, obviously, but a lot of people say that when you move the system around like that, you do lose the
It
3D
breaks the
effect.
3D.
It kind of does, but the way they I like I don't know for all games, but the way they set up the looking and like the bow and the slingshot aiming is you can still use the analog. And depending on where you're already facing, the gyro will take over from there. So you can look up, then move your 3DS so that you don't have to move it too much to ruin the 3D effect. So you can still use it pretty effectively without having to, you know, spin around in your chair or something like that. So yeah, it's kind of weird in that case,
So,
I
final
guess.
verdict, if you own a 3DS, you are doing yourself a disservice not picking up this game.
I think you should if you like Zelda games. Regardless if you've played it or not.
Otherwise, you're just not using your 3DS.
Yeah, at least not yet. That's
It's
true. But
kind
I just
of
want to
the
say.
game that really sells you on the whole concept of the 3DS, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, for that, it's definitely one that you have to pick up.
For sure. And I just want to say before like but the issue with the 3D I've had w was the there's actually like frame rate issues in certain cases. And it's you can reproduce it if you go and like hit those bushes like in Lake Hylia, you know, those bushes right up above the water. If you go in and either you spin attack it or you just like spam the sword button, like the frame will drop to like 10 frames. Like it's noticeable.
Yeah,
It's really
I remember reading on Kotaku how they've kept some of the game's original glitches still in the game, and I didn't read up more about that, but I'm kind of curious now. One of my favorite, I don't know, glitches about Ocarina of Time was that if you went to like an exit area, and if you jumped into first person view mode after you've like crossed like an exit area threshold or something, you can like see like where the geometry ends because how every part is like sectioned off and stuff. So like you'd like I think it's the town next to the mountain. I forgot the name of the town, but
Kakariko,
yeah, if you go
Kakariko.
to Kakariko, and if you go like to the exit of that town and then you go into first person, or if you're going into the graveyard, if you go into first person after before you hit that magic part of the ground that immediately like makes Link run forward and then load up the next area. Like if you go into
Oh,
first
okay.
person, you can see like where this is the original N64 version. You could see like where the original where like the geometry like was cut off, and where that where that part of the world ends. So you can like see like, hey, there's no road in front of me, but you can't see it from the third person perspective.
Yeah, because it's like blocked by like a turn or something like that.
So I was just wondering if they kept that or if you have not noticed and are not crazy like I
I haven't
am.
tried that. I haven't tried that, but I think I don't know, like I
Never
never
heard
looked
of
this
that
up, but
glitch.
I assume if they left some of the glitches in, the main ones would be like the bomb jumps
Yeah.
and the one where you like you glitch Link where he's crouching and you're always doing jump attacks like really fast so you can pretty much one-shot bosses.
There's
I
also
always
an
get the
infinite
one.
Skulls Hello.
I always get the
I think
one
that's the
where
one then.
he like a door reopens in a room and Link looks up, but as he's doing that, he spins around three times.
That's I think that's 3DS thing because of the gyro. I'm not
Yeah.
sure what
I'm
that's
kind
about.
of I'm also kind of annoyed that you have to beat the game in order to get into Master Quest because like
Yeah, it sucks.
I know the update of the visuals are fantastic, but I have played Ocarina of Time. I own like the GameCube version of Ocarina of Time. Like I have played Ocarina of Time
Me
to
too.
death. And
Me too.
if I were to get the 3DS version, I'm kind of like I think I would like to give Master Quest a try, but to like hear that you have to like unlock it after playing through it again, which is I know it's not a real complaint because the game is so good, but I just kind of feel like as an old gamer, like that's
Right.
kind of a little annoyance.
Yeah, I understand too. Like, and the boss rush mode too that you gotta wait
The
for.
that boss mode thing that is shown to you in the weirdest way. Like you're adult Link 7 years later or whatever. She comes up to you and talks to you, and you like beat your first boss or whatever in the forest temple. And then she's like,
Yeah.
"If you want to revisit boss fights, just go to your room and go to sleep."
That
So
makes
this is
sense.
now part of the Zelda canon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
this is
you're
totally
basically
the N64
this
version.
you just go to your back to and sleep. So this is kind of like Inception again.
Yeah, and like
But it,
Navi like tells you like, "Oh, you've been playing a long time. You should rest. Hit go to the
yeah.
menu and hit
Oh,
save." It's kind of funny.
I'm happy that they
They found a
annoyed
way to
Navi
make
to be
Navi
even
more.
more annoying.
Yep.
It's just kind of funny when they sneak these little things into your nostalgic
Hey,
experience of
listen.
playing this game. Like,
Have
this
you
hasn't
noticed
happened
that
before.
all first party Nintendo games have a thing that tells you to take a break now, no matter what game it is.
Duke Nukem wants you to take a break
Like,
because my game
yeah.
sucks.
Take a break,
Take a
bitch.
break. Go outside.
You pussy.
If only that happened 5 minutes in.
Oh, that would have made the game so much better.
Yeah, but that game's great.
Do you
Ocarina
know
is.
what we also missed during the time that we were not podcasting?
What?
The entirety of E3.
The entirety of E3.
What, E3 happened?
Yeah,
What?
Yeah, E3 kind of happened.
Is the PS4 out yet?
I'm just wondering. We skimmed a little bit. We mentioned the Wii U, but I was just wondering if people are down with that here, with the Wii U, like what their ideas and their
I'm
thoughts about the
totally
Wii U
okay
is.
with it. I like
I'm
it. I think it
excited.
looks great.
Yeah, I like.
We need to
Oh,
see
okay.
more software, of course, but I
I
think
thought everyone
they'll be
here
able
was
to
going to be
tease
like
us more.
jaded and upset, so I'm surprised.
No,
No, I
it's
mean
an HTTPS plan.
I'm not even completely against the Wii. I just think that they don't have good enough software support for it, and it looks like that'll at least be temporarily fixed when the Wii U, as long as the
Until
360 and PS3 are
whatever,
still
until
around.
like the, until
Well,
the Microsoft 720 and the PlayStation 4, which we have like no idea when that's happening.
here's the funny thing that I noticed coming out of the E3 thing is that when they introduced the Wii U and they're talking about it, because they only wanted to talk about the controller, because let's face it, that's like the interesting, fucked up kind of aspect of this new
The most
console, right?
Nintendo aspect of the console.
Yeah.
For a long time during the conference, I thought that the controller was for the regular Wii, and that was what they were announcing.
But like, so I was watching this stuff on game trailers because they were making such a big deal of being like the most in-depth place to go to for E3 that
That
they
was
have so far.
creepy coverage. That
Yeah.
was weird coverage.
But like, you got like
Jeff
Jeff
Keighley's
Keighley.
wearing a tie.
Yeah, you got Jeff Keighley and Reggie, you know, sitting there talking about the Wii U, and like Jeff Keighley's kind of asking him all these kind of standard bullshit questions about the next console, right? Like, how HD is it going to be? Does it support Blu-ray?
Yeah.
What's the online going to be like?
Well, it's because we don't know anything about it. We would, you know, and I think that that's kind of fair that he has those questions. He didn't do that bad of a job, I thought.
He didn't do that bad
on the coverage. Like when Sony was like delaying themselves, because Sony always like, I think it's like required contractually that they have to be like 20 minutes late to do their press conference. Like there was this all this like dead air, and he was doing a pretty damn good job just bullshitting, waiting for Sony to get their crap together.
Yeah, no.
So
no kidding.
But like, I think the most creepiest thing was him in that goddamn suit.
But like what I'm talking about here is that like they're only there to show off the controller.
Right.
And what it does, but like everybody else in the industry, like games media wise, is like trying to get them to fall into the standard kind of like, oh, this is the next generation of consoles, which, you know, it kind of isn't. It's more like still this generation. It's just caught up with
what will make or break the Wii U is whether or not Duke Nukem Forever gets ported for.
That would be awesome. Just
I want to
think
touch
of all
Duke
the
Nukem.
Things that you can do with that control.
Now you can give the aliens the finger.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm imagine slapping wall boobs with motion control.
I'd rather just, I don't know, slap boobs in real life, but yeah.
But you can't get arrested this way.
That is true. We just went
like,
to a dark place
funny.
In the podcast.
But it was also funny, because, like, you gotta hand it to Nintendo to just, like, crush the souls of gamers everywhere that think they owe, like, that think Nintendo owes it to them to come up with something good.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Like, the sheer mention of the fact that it's called Wii U, and, like, millions of gamers on forums everywhere are like, oh, how could they do something like that? Oh, I've never bought a Nintendo console.
I don't even think it's that bad of a name.
It could be better. Because it doesn't... I don't think it differentiates itself more from, because it is from a hardware perspective, it's actually quite different from the Wii, which is more like two games.
I know, but I mean it's always been the PlayStation, and it's always been the Xbox, even though the iterations have been much different than the previous.
Yeah, but I just
but like people
you
have
got a
to
point
figure
there.
This out by now. People have to figure this out by now that Nintendo is always going to try and do something completely different with every generation. Like it would be pointless for them to make a console that's just like a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360, because there would be no point in having three of the exact same thing out there.
And that ship has sailed with the GameCube. I think with the breakout success they had with the Wii, and now that fad is kind of like dying out a little bit, I think that they've gotten to this mentality, and I don't know how to feel about it, but I think that for the time being, I think it's not that bad of a mentality to have, in which every new piece of hardware that you go into, we should try and be doing something new and innovative, because I never got that, like before the GameCube, like I never got that feeling from Nintendo that like, they were trying to do innovative stuff with their hardware. Like you'd get a few like breakout things, but they were never like a main part of their system. I always thought it was Sega that were the guys that were trying to do crazy stuff, like adding like modem support and online support and doing like a Sega channel thing. And Nintendo for years, I always felt was kind of like just riding. They're the big guys in town, and they didn't really have to work to differentiate themselves from the other players. And then, you know, over time, over a decade, Sony whittled away at that, and then Microsoft jumped in, and then Nintendo really had to do what I thought was kind of like the smart thing in terms of what they did with the Wii. But all of the problems that I see with the Wii U are kind of the same issues and problems that I see with the Wii, in which, you know, how much of this is going to be a fad, and how much of this is going to be something that, you know, that could be something substantial. And I think that there's a little bit of an identity crisis with that system, because at one point they're like, okay, now we can get third-party developers to make like modern games on our system now, but at the same time it has this motion control set up, and we don't know when the next generation is going to turn around, is coming around the corner, and like how the idea that you would get all your third-party games from the Wii U is something that I don't see that much. I
I
still
think
see
what
the
it really
same.
boils down to is whether or not they get the online to actually work,
Right.
and if you
And
have
that's
like friend list and things like.
right now that's like the number one thing that I'm more interested about this console more than anything else is its online component.
I think what makes the online is a good Super Smash Brothers game. That's what's going to make
Doesn't
it.
the 3DS have an all right online system with friend lists and things like that?
I wouldn't know. I
It's
don't have
okay.
one.
There
Haven't played
isn't.
anything online yet.
Like,
All I
yeah,
know
you're
is
right.
that
It
less
seems like an
stuff is
improvement.
prevalent.
All I know is that it,
Yeah.
if they put out another Super Smash Bros. Online on the Wii U, yeah, of course that would be fantastic. But all I know is that I this is just my personal opinion, but I don't think people are down for another round of friend codes and having to deal with an internet
Nobody
thing
is really
that's
ready for a
not.
first round of friend code.
Like that's it. Like if they do like a repeat of that, and if their defense is kind of like, we're not going to do achievements or online user names and stuff because we're not pursuing that market. That part of the console like is weird for me because it's like they're splitting their console in half in terms of who they're appealing to, and I don't see that as a reliable way forward for them.
Well, the way the friend codes work now on the 3DS is it's just a hardware number. So you give them one number and that's it. Like
And
that's
then
your
they have,
name.
but
Yeah,
they need
on
to
any
grow. They
game.
need to. I think they need to grow up and get some solid usernames
Yeah.
and do something to that effect.
If they want to keep their friend code thing, they should just have two separate like channels. Like if there's a parental like lock on online games, because you can like set parental settings. They
Right.
should just have it where you can only play friend code based games or friend code enabled games if you have that setting on. And if not, you should be allowed to make your own, gamer tag as it were, for your
And
game.
I'm wondering about the family thing too, because like I wonder like if how that is affecting them wanting to opening up their online infrastructure, because I get the feeling like they still want to market this as a family device. Maybe we don't know yet in the long term. At least the Wii was marketed as a family device,
I think
and
this
how will
is
that
marketed as a family device.
Work if you like you're marketing this thing as a family device, and then it's like, okay, everyone, let's play something online with voice chat, and then it's like, oh shit,
Wii U speak. We
we
speak
yeah,
with you.
we speak w at you, we speak things at you that you'll remember as a child when back in therapy 10 years from now.
Speaking of the Wii speak, though, like with Nintendo, Monster Hunter 3 got away with doing this whole friends thing without any of the friend code bullshit, and you could just straight up
Right.
talk to people that you didn't know. So I feel like Nintendo does understand it needs to be more lenient with those types of things. So I do have
I
faith they'll
hope
be
so.
able to put something, at least a step in the right direction for the Wii.
Hope. And we're so early right now in terms of getting some really more solid stuff about it. I've been reading stuff online, and we're not like 100% sure like the exact hardware that is running this console yet. And it's gonna be one thing's for certain. I'm really excited in the next couple of years because I can't really predict on how this is gonna play out. And it's gonna be interesting to have like three consoles that are again. That are going to be able to play multi-platform games.
I get a kick out of the fact that the Wii U is kind of backwards compatible on it on itself, like on the Wii. Like a lot of the peripherals and shit like that that come out for the Wii, you can still use them for the Wii U. So it's like all the stuff that you invested your money into, you can still
You
use.
can still use
It's
my
good,
my
that's good.
I wonder how though how fast third-party developers will begin to ignore the controller. That's the part that I'm kind of a
Well,
little.
I was thinking that it would be mandatory for developers to have at least some use of the controller the way that
That
people need to
Nintendo would have like a
design things in
mandatory thing.
3D.
It's just a map, a 2D picture image.
Yeah,
It's
I'm just
like
thinking
e every
about
You could just
It's
do
like
what
the
they
way
did
everybody on the
for.
DS, everybody on the DS designs things for two screens, right? I feel like it's the same concept. Like it would just you would need something down.
You could just do what they did for the Dreamcast, how you play in a game and on the screen is just like the title of the game.
Ha ha ha.
That would be oh man, imagine the new Sonic where you can raise Chavs.
Oh my god! Actually, you know what? That would be really cool. Because you'd be playing your Sonic game, and then like on the little screen there is your Chao Garden, and sometimes they would need attention, or they would ask you to get something in the level, and then it would automatically... Oh my god, I'm going to think about this when I go to sleep.
Or what about
Wii U,
if...
Wii U is the revival of Sonic.
If you get hit, you know how your rings fall out? What if they fell out on the screen and you had to tap them to...
Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
How come we're not making games?
I kind of am, sort of.
Well then, we got to step that up more.
It's getting there.
Come on.
Do you need help?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going back to school for animation, so I might be useful at some point.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. We need someone to do music.
Dude.
So bad. I don't know.
Side scroller can rap.
Like,
that's true.
Side scroller.
There you go.
We're gonna have an all hip hop soundtrack about Sonic the Hedgehog. It's new and
step ending where Sonic's dancing. And it's like all done.
Not just for Knuckles levels anymore.
There's a new Sonic game that's coming out, the Generations one.
Generations.
I played the demo, mm-hmm. And I basically was shouting throughout the entire demo, like, I'm not gonna be tricked this time! No! Just being, like, really, like, angry at it, even though it didn't seem that bad, because it was just regular 2D Sonic.
I like the visual style of it.
But so was Sonic 4.
That is true.
Here's the thing,
but
though.
this was like more so. I got the feeling like at least the physics of the demo felt more in line with a more traditional Sonic game than Sonic 4, because certain parts of Sonic 4 I felt were kind of a little wonky.
Yeah, it's still a demo, but there were some parts where.
Plus seeing the non creepy anorexic tall version of Sonic running around was something that I that my
when
nostalgia
did that version
enjoy
of Sonic
a little
become
bit.
Why.
I don't know, and I don't like it.
So here's
did he look
because
like
I'm
a Sonic
old.
Adventure?
No,
this,
maybe he did. I don't remember.
My beef with this though. Maybe Sonic just grew up a little. Maybe
yeah. So the developers have nothing to do with
taller.
It because he just yeah.
You know, like it's such a like his design for the new generation of Sonic games or whatever when he leapt into 3D and Sonic Adventure and whatnot, and the fact that he looks like that, that should be the least of your fucking problem.
Duke
like,
Nukem
oh
says
God,
growing up sucks.
Duke Nukem would say that.
Honestly,
Duke Nukem says I'm gonna make the same jokes that I did in the 90s.
If that is
Duke
if
Nukem's...
that is the starting
Vitch,
listen. If that is the starting point of your argument towards this new Sonic, then you shouldn't be fucking complaining about Sonic at all. Because honestly, his
that's
games
that's not my argument.
Playable.
That's just me being an old Bond. That's just being me being an old fart.
I know.
Like,
old
I have no,
fart,
I have no...
I'm older than you, and I have no fucking problem with this.
With without tall.
I think the problem is less with the character designs and more that the fact that Sonic's like stories and characters now resemble shitty anime.
Yeah. But the thing with that though is that like they're still trying to appeal with children with Sonic, and at the same time Mario is actually too. It's just that there's a lot of things
I get the feeling
Mario
though that
games that still tug at the heartstrings of nostalgia while Sonic is
and I,
still
and I get the feeling also
something different and evolve into like whatever it can evolve into because it's only got one fucking gameplay mechanic to it.
I feel though that Mario kind of like has this like appeal to everyone though, and I think that those games, the Mario games, at least the small amount of story that they have, whether it be Paper Mario or Mario Galaxy, like the way that game is presented, like it feels more like something akin to Pixar or something. It always feels,
you know,
something warm and regardless of what age you are, you can just jump in and enjoy. Whereas Sonic, like ever since like Sonic Adventure was, it's always been slowly creeping toward this like not good anime like thing, and I don't know. I just don't. I just feel like Sonic has the potential to appeal to everyone, and I have hope.
And
but
speaking
I
of paper, yeah. Speaking of Paper Mario, Like, Super Paper Mario for the Wii, I think, actually had Mario go in a little bit more serious of a direction as far as the plot goes, because that game doesn't
Well,
even
they were silly.
really have a.
They
Doesn't
had
really.
jokes.
Yeah, it had jokes, and but, like, even the ending and the antagonist, like, that was some dark shit, and it didn't even really have a happy ending, because there's all this sacrifice, and it worked because it was aligned with all of this standard Mario humor and tradition, and I think that's the right way to have your plot grow up a little bit, not like Sonic is trying to do by, like, just giving dudes guns.
Also, I grew up on
Shadow is
watching Sonic.
completely different.
I grew up watching the Sonic AM cartoon, and I there is some I see some seri some potential that might be better than what they just have right now, and that's all I'm going to say about
Sonic has no attitude anymore,
Here's a
man.
fun fact. Here's a fun fact, though. You know how people were originally complaining about, okay, Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, how it was like the worst next-gen game.
Dude, have you played that game?
I have
I
played
played that
Sonic
game. Have you played that
2006.
I'm still in the middle of playing that game. I'm determined to beat it.
Why? Go,
Because
go, dude, go play Duke Nukem Forever.
I play games like Demon's Souls, and I'm probably gonna
Near.
play Vanquish and like God Hard at some point because I'm that weird. But like, so here's like the whole plot line, right? It's Sonic and a human princess. That's the whole
It's
plot.
a weird fan fiction.
Yeah, but the funny thing that I was reading up on like the history of Sonic, or I was watching a video, and when they were originally designing the Sonic character, he originally did have a human girlfriend.
What?
So they were
What was their reason?
already in that little weird thing anyway.
Yeah,
So
but that didn't
really,
work
two
out,
thousand
Bon.
Yeah, but still, in the back of their head,
No.
they were
But
waiting
what
for the
he's
right moment to like bring it up.
saying is that 2006 Sonic is actually like the most true to classic Sonic there is.
They did say that they were trying to revamp the series with that game.
And then
Wasn't
the
the problem
lead
with that game
guy,
that it was just broken?
the
Like
lead
it
guy that was
was.
no the lead guy that was working on it like left, and then like that game went through so many different hands over who was finishing it, and maybe it's kind of like Duke Nukem Forever now that I think about
This,
it.
yeah, this sounds
But
familiar.
yeah, but no, all you have to do if you want to know about Sonic 2006, all you have to do is look up on YouTube Sonic 2006 load times, and just have fun watching those videos because that game has the most amazing load times, like
Yeah,
ever.
the load times
It
in that are pretty bad.
makes PlayStation 1 launch games look acceptable. Like the amount of, the frequency and the amount are just unbelievable. And yes, Aussie, that game is pretty much unfinished.
Did anybody play Sonic Unleashed?
Yeah, I beat it.
Because I think that game was worse than Sonic 2006.
Can
Yeah,
you
well,
keep that
I
thought
thought
while I...
I thought that
Yeah.
game was way better.
Can everyone
Hang
keep
on,
their own thoughts because I have
let
to go?
No,
Guys,
no.
can everyone just keep their own thoughts for just like 1 second because I have to go and grab myself some dinner, and I might pop back in here, but just wait,
Okay,
no.
well, we can continue to let Side Scroller talk, and we
Yep.
can go into
Keep yeah, keep talking, and
it.
I'll be back in like
All
10 minutes or so.
right. Okay.
Because I know that this conversation's not going to end in the next like 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Yeah, so like with Sonic Unleashed, I thought that the parts where you were playing as regular Sonic just running were good, but the rest of that game was just really tedious open world exploration and really bad God of War cloning, and that w took up about 80% of the game, and the only good part was the other 20%.
Are you talking about Nier or Sonic?
I guess both.
Sonic. We could talk about Nier some other time. When I dedicate a whole
Good.
podcast to
Anyways.
but like I know what you're talking about because they kind of had a point made when they were like doing the PR for this game is that when people want a just Sonic game, they kind of felt like in this day and age, an only Sonic kind of game with like only Sonic levels would be way too short for this generation because there's a lot of gamers out there that like longer kind of games. So they kind of designed the whole like werehog. Oh, that's such a dumb thing to say. They designed the whole werehog levels based on that, so they could give you like longer kind of platforming parkour kind of levels or whatever with the really bad God of War
But
mechanics.
they were really long and really boring and just
Yeah,
not
I
fun
know.
to play at all.
Like the very last stage of that game, the shortest time I beat it under was like 46 minutes because that's how long the entire stage was. And it was jumping back and forth between like normal Sonic stages and Werehog stages.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I just didn't like it at all. And I
Yeah.
actually finished Sonic 2006, and I did not
But
finish Sonic Unleashed.
yeah. I mean, like I understand where your complaints come from, but I felt that there was enough balance with the Sonic stages. And even like the boss fights were actually my favorite part of that game too. That made me accept this as like, okay, this is the current better Sonic game out right now. But I haven't played Colors yet. I hear that is like the best one before
Yeah,
Generations
I
comes
tried the
out.
DS one. I think it's pretty good. Like, I don't think
Yeah.
it feels as bad as the console counterparts do, but
I think the last Sonic game I really enjoyed was, if not Sonic Adventure 2, then Sonic Heroes.
Heroes. That was like,
Heroes was weird.
oh, it was so weird.
It's
But
a
I
weird
think,
concept.
yeah, the stronger kind of Sonic games were the ones for the DS. Definitely Rush and Rush Adventure,
Rush,
because
yeah.
they were the older kind of. They were the gameplay kind of things that people would recognize more as a Sonic game, with added things to it, but. Like, those are definitely something to pick up. Oh, I feel like I'm turning into some kind of Sonic apologist.
Everybody goes through those phases.
Yeah.
Not me.
It's a natural part of life.
Well, like, I grew up with Nintendo games, right? And I've always went over to a friend's house to play Sega games, and they
Yeah,
were
I grew up when
always Sonic and Sonic 2 and stuff like that. So I was kind of like a closet Sonic fan. And it wasn't until the GameCube came out and then like it started getting Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2 and then like those collector packs of Sonic games came out and then I finally had this huge collection of all these Sonic games that I could play all the time.
Yeah, because I grew up with a Super Nintendo too, and I would occasionally play Sonic, but then I got a Dreamcast, and I thought Sonic Adventure was like the coolest thing ever, and I played through that entire game,
Yeah.
like everything, all of those characters, at least 5 times. So
Yeah.
it was really the only game I
Like
owned for
there's
Dreamcast, but after that, nothing was as good as that game.
maybe they kind of raised some sort of weird bar with the adventure games.
Yeah.
We just lost all.
He was never here,
Oh,
as far as I'm
he
concerned.
was never here. He was just here to say hi. Maybe he's got some shit going on. Who knows?
What would you guys think though of a Sonic game where there was like user created levels where you can just drop in, kind of Excitebike, LittleBigPlanet style, and just make a level and share it, like the
It's a
2D
really
levels?
good idea. Like, yeah.
Like that would
Because
get me back in.
2D level creators aren't necessarily the hardest things to work in the world. So I mean, look at LittleBigPlanet. People make amazing shit in there. So, like, combining that
Yeah.
with Sonic seems like a good idea. So, yeah, I'm down.
I think that would be cool because you would definitely get a lot more harder levels out of that game. A lot of fans that'll step up to the plate and be pompous and
Yeah,
say,
like the.
"Sega, this is how you make a Sonic game," and then like come up with the
Yeah.
most craziest, bizarre levels that anybody could
Have
play.
you guys seen those
That would be
crazy
awesome.
Super Mario World mods that like on
Yes.
YouTube that are the, oh my God, it's like
For
that form of
what?
gaming, for Super Mario World, it's like called Super Kaizo Brothers or something, I don't know, but it's the most
Oh, okay.
ridiculous precise Super Mario World levels you'll ever see, and like that type of gaming is ridiculous. Like other games do that too. Like, I want to be the guy in Super Meat Boy to an extent.
Oh yeah, those super punishing game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's a word for it. I'm trying to think, but I can't think right now.
Those are so fun to watch with commentary. Like people the first time playing through a level and they're just like getting pissed off at stupid jump.
Oh, they're called
It's great.
masochore games. That's the word.
Yeah.
Because you're a masochist if you play them. It makes sense.
Like Demon's Souls.
Hooray! Actually, I don't think Demon's Souls has anything on the Super Kaizo Brothers.
Yeah, it's that there's like one way to get through the level, and it's just ridiculous, like the timing required. Like, I don't think anybody actually plays through those levels without using tons and tons of save states all the time. Or
Yeah.
they may not even play them. They may just like script the controller inputs and then let the game play itself. 'Cause I know that's how a lot of people do speed runs and things.
I like the ones that they kind of do them to beat of music. That's kind of hypnotizing to watch.
Oh yeah. They play themselves with like the physics of the game. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really good. Definitely done with people who have a lot of time on their hands, but I think it's totally worth it with the finished.
It's kind of like the was it the Mario Paint music maker, but in real time instead of just notes. It's interesting stuff.
So what else can we talk about before Vid gets back?
We can talk about, I don't know. I played 999. I don't think anybody wants to talk about that.
I
Why
haven't
do you think
even played
that?
it, nor do I know what it is.
Well, yeah, I know you played a little bit of it, Aussie, but you didn't even get all the way through, so it's like I can't
I
even
know.
really talk about it without spoiling a whole bunch.
Well, is that what you want to talk about, the ending?
No, I don't want to talk about the ending because I want you to see the ending, because I legitimately think it's one of the best narratives I've ever seen in a video game.
Gotta finish Ocarina first, man.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Shadow
You've
Temple.
played Ocarina before.
I know! And I'm playing it again.
I gotta finish Ocarina before I buy Resident Evil Mercenaries.
Okay, I saw
Oh,
the quick look
wait!
of that. Is that, like, I didn't play the one in 5? Because that was like DLC, right? I think.
No, Mercenaries
No,
was included. There.
Mercenaries was a part of
Was
the
it?
game. It's just that they added
Yeah,
like
I think there
these
was.
like multiplayer modes and shit like that to it.
But even the multiplayer mode for Mercenaries was free download, I think.
Because I have the PC one. Is it there? Or I don't remember seeing that in the
No,
menu,
because they
but
the PC
no,
version didn't get any of the DLC things that you'd be thinking about.
it was the competitive multiplayer they added for DLC
Yeah.
then, right? I never even
Like
played that, but
deathmatch kind of things and competitive, yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I saw the video and I'm not a fan of like the control scheme of that type of game, but I don't know, like that just seems like one Resident Evil mini game. Like
Yeah, well,
I don't
it
know.
is.
I know,
It
but
is a mini game tacked onto it that they're trying to make a full game out of and put it on the
And not
3DS.
to mention there's that bullshit with not even being able to delete the save states, which I think is the worst idea of anti-used game sales ever.
Well,
I don't
let's
know. I
talk
don't
about that
think
for a second.
Sure, for that game, I don't think that's a big deal because the save game has no relationship with the
It
progress.
may not be a big deal, but I think what it says for the future of what they're trying to do is off.
I think it's just for this type of game. I don't think they're gonna be like, okay,
Well,
let's adopt this in all games.
what reason would they have for not including the save states?
It's a bad design choice. That's what
Right.
I'm gonna say.
But it's an intentional
I
design choice because they went and made an announcement about it.
don't know. I don't think it's a big deal at all. Like,
Are you gonna
why do you wanna?
feel left out if you pick up a used copy of Mercenaries 3D and not have to suffer through all the bullshit of unlocking everything and you just
You
can
know,
play the game?
a little bit, because I think that a lot of people talk about how, like, in fighting games nowadays, they want to have all the characters unlocked from the start because they just want to get to the game. But I think there's a
Yeah.
certain sense of accomplishment that comes from the natural unlocking of things, and it's like an incentive to play through the
Yeah.
game. So I can't see myself buying Resident Evil Mercenaries new for $40, so I'll probably end up just not buying it at this point because I would like to have
But
some sense of progression.
here's the thing that I'm gonna say about it, and like Aussie brought it up in the chat yesterday, but I might as well just say it in the podcast here, is that when I buy a used game, I expect it to be used. I don't expect like a clean slate and then I get to start fresh with all these things that haven't been done before. Like I expect it to have all this shit unlocked for me because I'm buying it used.
Yeah, like
Well, I think
if it's a game where the
if
primary objective is to like have one save and everything counts all the time, like you can't go back and erase things, then that's what you get. If you buy it used, that's what
yeah.
you get.
Yeah, if I want to feel entitled to having a game where I can start everything from scratch, then I might as well buy it new. Because why on earth would I think that I'm going to get that kind of stuff with a used game? Like,
Well,
especially
because you
things that
do
are
most of the
carts
time,
and
or
cart
all of the
games.
time.
Okay,
I have
so then
never
it's
seen a
not.
game that didn't let you delete save states other than this.
Sure, but if you're
But
saying
I
that, then that
never.
means it's.
I've never deleted save states on cartridges, though, if I've bought it
Have you
used. I've just kept
really?
them there. Yeah.
I find that I do it all the time. 'Cause I buy a lot of used games, and I always delete everything when I get them because it's like I just want to start this new for
So
myself.
then that's a used game sort of thing. Like it has nothing to do with the actual game itself. Then, like, because you're saying like it's this specific group of people who buy used games that are, you know, not liking this change, and so it's only them that are being affected. And it's I don't think, as far as the game is concerned, that has anything to do with either the
Well,
quality of the game
even
or.
okay, I guess that's a fair point, but it seems weird to me that when they stop making new copies of this game and all you have are the used copies because it's out of print, that the unlocking process of this game is just like lost forever, and that just seems odd.
Sure. Like, I understand. Like, I think that's a silly design choice, but I mean, I guess for this game, since there's like those perks and whatever you use to equip your character, that would kind of suck because you can just say, well, I have it all, so I'm just going to pick the top three that I like, and that's it. Like, you don't have to try anything out, right? I don't know. It's kind of a
I
weird
do
thing.
like it is one of those things like I don't really have that much concern for it with Mercenaries, obviously, because of what kind of game that is. But if they did adopt that kind of thing for much more serious games that only did have one save file, like if you were playing an RPG and you buy it used and you all of a sudden find yourself on like the last boss fight of this thing and there's no chance of ever going back, then I would have a lot of concern for that.
Well, and also imagine something like, let's say, for example, like Super Mario Galaxy, like you can have all the levels unlocked, but you already have all the stars, and you can go back to those levels and play them all the way through, but you can't like collect stars and unlock new levels. I just think it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Then just don't buy it and they'll never do it again. I don't
Exactly.
know.
Online petitions.
That's how they defeat used game sales,
Boycott.
is by never selling the game.
It worked for Modern Warfare 2, right?
Oh.
Oh,
Modern
I
Warfare
don't
3, game of the year.
know. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I don't
Is
know. That game, though.
the plot for Modern Warfare 3 tied into Modern Warfare 2? Because I really have not been paying attention at all.
Probably not. You probably won't notice even if it is. That's my
Isn't
guess.
it? Like,
But that game had a
I don't.
huge cliffhanger. It seems weird to just drop it, because like they go to the helicopter, they gotta go after Makarov or what's his name.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
So Makarov just started World War III, and that's all you've been seeing so far.
Oh, cool.
Is New York in peril again
And only Duke can save us.
after
That's
September
the
11th?
twist in Modern Warfare 3, is that Duke Nukem shows up and they're in the same universe.
Oh no.
But yeah, so I was asking something. So like you're gonna get mercenaries. Like
Yeah.
I don't really like, 'cause I didn't really play that mode, so I didn't really know what it was until I saw the video, and I'm just like, I don't know. Do you want to pay for that game? Like it doesn't seem like it's like, oh man, I want to play this. It
Well,
seems like
like,
a
why not
side
just play
thing.
Mercenaries on Resident Evil 5 for
Yeah.
cheaper
Obviously,
money, and you get a whole single player campaign?
Mercenaries is not a game that's going to appeal to everybody. Like, it's going to appeal to people that did like the Mercenaries mode in like the past two games, and they want to see more out of it. I mean, like, there are things to this game that they did add to it to make it a much more substantial thing. I mean, like, there's more levels. You can tweak all the loadouts for every character now, so they're not just character specific. You can basically be one character throughout the whole thing with all the different weapons or whatever. And like there is the tweaks and like the unlockable things and the fact that I don't know, I mean like there's just all that stuff to it that It's kind of like you look at this thinking what they wanted to do with the Mercenaries game, there'd probably be no way that they could fit that as just a mini game mode on their Resident Evil Revelations.
But I think that's why people are like against Mercenaries as, I mean, I don't, they're not really against it. I guess that's just why I'm against it. But I think part of what's wrong with that is that you look at that game and you realize what that engine and those gameplay mechanics can be used for, and instead they're just making a pick up and play arcade game.
Well, because what I think is that they just want to make something more out of the Mercenaries thing, and like this is their chance at doing it. This is their little shot in the dark that they're willing to take of making a completely separate Mercenaries experience for like the people that do like it.
It just seems like it should be a $29.99
Yeah, I.
game. That's what it feels like. Not that it's like a bad game. I don't, like, it's not my thing, but you know, it's kind of weird.
Well, I'll be the
In
judge
that
of that when
regard.
I pick it up, and I'll probably talk about it.
But again, it's
Yeah.
still early in the 3DS's life where I think they can get away with releasing games that are not complete packages in a lot of ways, so.
I'm
Yeah.
willing to sacrifice funds just so I can talk about it on this podcast.
Right.
But
Duke
you know, it's
Nukem's
funny.
back.
It's funny. They did.
No.
All right. It's
I'm
funny.
sorry.
So
What
like.
are you talking about? I know this is going to be awkward
No.
because I'm jumping back in.
It's Resident Evil Mercenary.
Hey, I heard you can't the saves, and I should be upset about that.
We talked
Yeah,
about
we already talked about that, so you missed the
that.
boat. Sorry. But it is
Damn
kind of
it.
funny that like since the quick look went up, or the fact that it is released, you just had all these people complaining about the one thing, the one big selling point for a lot of people is that there's no Leon Kennedy in this game. And it just broke so many people's hearts in wanting to play this game. Like, you have all these characters, why not Leon Kennedy? Which I can kind
Because
of agree
Leon is
with,
awesome.
because
Jeez.
Leon Kennedy, like, when I
Bon.
think of Leon Kennedy. Let me talk, Vid.
Yeah.
When I think of Leon Kennedy, I do think of the Resident Evil franchise, right? Like, he's just one of those key characters to all the games that you can't not have him in there. So.
Maybe
That
he's a
is one of
boss.
those things that kind of suck. But I was kind of thinking about this. I was kind of thinking about this because Vince, not Vance, I was talking to him on Twitter about it, and he said something to the fact that it was like, yeah, this isn't the first time that Capcom has intentionally left a character out of one of their franchises. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, maybe Capcom doesn't want to be the game company that just throws Mega Man into every game that they have.
Oh, if Mega Man was a character in Mercenaries, I would buy it.
See,
Says
like that's what
the
I'm talking about. Like they maybe they don't want to do like that cheap kind of gimmick of like you'll buy this game because Leon Kennedy's in it, or you'll buy this game because Mega Man's in it, you know?
But
So
Leon
or
Kennedy is a
Sonic.
character in the Resident Evil universe, and this is a
I
Resident
know.
Evil game.
I know. It's very kind of
Also,
disappointing.
Bond, you forgot
But
the fact that Resident Evil 4 was the one that started up Mercenaries and well not no not not Resident Evil 4, but well Mercenaries existed in various forms versus what it does now, but that was pioneered by Resident Evil 4 and Leon was in Resident Evil 4. So I
We
can
can
kind of
forget about
see
that
why
stuff.
people are not jumping up and down that Leon
Well,
isn't in
see,
it.
but you
Like
also
I can
have
kind
the
of see
fact
it.
you also have the fact that characters like Krauser and Claire Redfield are in this game and Leon Kennedy
So why
isn't.
not
Like
Leon?
these are characters that Leon Kennedy is associated with. I don't know why Leon's not in the game, but you do have like
DLC.
the
Yeah,
original
that's what I was
Krauser
gonna say.
from like I was gonna say. There might be
Everyone
DLC
was
that
thinking the
includes
same thing.
like spec DLC.
Isn't that sad?
Like they could be testing the waters with this thing for a lot of different things. So you might see DLC for that. Who knows?
Yeah,
3DS DLC.
I like Mercenaries, but I'm not sold on the idea of just having a game that's just Mercenaries. I don't know. Like I enjoyed it. Like it was always this fun little afterthought after after Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil
Final
5, but
Fantasy.
Final Fantasy 4. Yeah, the part where Cecil goes out and does a combo and shoots some dude in the face. Yeah,
Oh
but
man, that was
I
my
never thought
favorite
of it.
character in that.
I never thought of it as something that can stand alone by itself, but that's just me.
Yeah, And like I also think that that's probably the reason why they chose to put that on the 3DS instead of giving it a console experience.
I think nobody would buy it if it was on consoles, if it wasn't an, like a downloadable game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like there's that too.
Plus, it's already on consoles. It's called Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, we talked about that too.
So, but
I'm gonna say
like
something relevant. I know it. Something you haven't
but
talked about
no.
yet.
I'm going to I'll fork over the money and play that game, and I'll be sure to tell you guys about it later. So, this isn't the last we'll hear about
Doesn't it come
Resident
with a
Evil.
demo with Resident Evil? Was it Revelations? Was that
Yeah, it's only 5 minutes
the single
long from what I
player?
heard.
Damn, that's a efficient demo.
Yeah.
Leaves you wanting more.
Yeah. Well, like that is
Six
the Resident Evil
minutes.
game to wait for, right? That is the one that you will definitely want to pick up for the 3DS. So it's kind of funny that they did pack in that really short kind of demo with Mercenary. It's like they're trying
There's
to pull a Zone of the Enders Metal Gear Solid 2 thing on you.
yeah, but there's not a whole lot of Resident Evil coming out. That's there's that one game that multiplayer one, the co-op, the one that's coming out. I forgot it's done by a Western studio. I forgot the name of the studio, but
The one.
outside of that, Mercenaries, Revelations, there's not a big like another console splash of Resident Evil if, unless you're thinking about the HD re-releases.
I think
Well,
that
there
Revelations
were.
is the next big Resident Evil game.
Yeah,
I
aside
just don't know
from
where else you can take the
Revelations being
story.
the next big Resident Evil game, apparently there were people at E3, I think, talking about where they're going to take the direction
Yeah.
of the Resident Evil franchise, and they want to bring it
Because.
back to horror at least, and not just have
Yeah.
the shooting them up thing.
I think that both Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 5 start off really scary and then just kind of devolve into dumb
Yeah.
action movie cliché.
I kind of always thought of it like the first half of the Resident Evil series is kind of like a defensive game, and then the second half is an offensive game. And at least that's how I kind of like try to, because there are similarities to the previous Resident Evil games with even the most, I think Resident Evil 5, like near the end game, becomes just a complete action fest, but it's
Yeah, I mean
still
the
there's still
zombies use
tone
guns.
there's still tonality aspects of it that I find are still very true to what Resident Evil is. But that being said, I can't think of anywhere else that series can go now because that storyline got so convoluted so fast, and
Well, it's
Five
not.
kind of pretty
It's
much ended it.
here's the thing about it though, is like. It's a lot more appropriate to call the series Biohazard than Resident Evil
Of
because
course.
the game is really more about these like bioterrorism kind of things.
Well, yeah.
So for them to be at this point in the series where like they basically created this new squad of people to deal with the bioterrorism things, there is a lot more that you can do with the franchise, but like it'll be
Well,
in
maybe
all these
you.
other different places around the world with all these
Well,
different kind of
maybe Bon.
bioterrorist
Well, maybe
threats.
Bon, you live in Africa and you think that it is also a Resident Evil. Come on, man.
Yeah, but like
You shouldn't take that seriously. I hope the sarcasm translated over the internet here.
No, you're not very good with your sarcasm. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bon. I'm sorry, Bon. Bon was like honestly thinking there, like, oh, maybe I should have been more.
You've been doing that to me so many times tonight, Ben. I'm just not going to talk anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
Podcast is over for me. You guys can continue to talk.
All right, so Ocarina of Time came out
They have zombies in it too.
Do you want to
Yeah,
hug Bon?
yeah.
Do you want to hug Bon? Is that what we want to make up?
No. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Really?
Don't worry about me.
Okay.
I'm fine.
What if Ari took place in space?
Well, then
Oh
that would
my
have to be the
God.
last Resident Evil game.
It would be like in
No.
space, and like we can call it like something that is associated with things that are dead that are in
Dead
space.
Space.
No, but get but the zombies ain't
What?
pilot
Resident Evil
starship.
space?
Dead Space is Resident Evil in space.
Dead Star Wars.
What was that?
Dead Star
Well,
Wars. Zombie Jedi?
PS2 game where they put emphasis on running away from the giant monsters.
There's a lot of games like that.
It was like it was
Clock
in
Clock
space.
Tower.
It was in space, and you had like the marine space. With like the giant big ass fucking guns. But like
Run Like Hell. Was...
Yeah, Run Like Hell.
Hell sounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
That game was in development for a very long time.
They really drifted away from the whole Run Like Hell thing about that game. You played the first couple of hours in that, and then all of a sudden you're just not running away from anything. You're just
you're running at the hell.
Have you guys ever heard or played of a game called Enemy Zero?
That's Saturn, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I've wanted to play it.
You're basically on a spaceship, and the entire game is running away from this thing you can't see, and you just have to like hear it out.
You just hear the
going
beeps
down hallways, and it is very tense.
I've seen like a little playthrough of it. I wanted to play that now that I actually have a Saturn, because I'm weird.
Yeah,
well, you gotta make use of it.
Why would you
right?
buy a Saturn?
It was at PAX last year, and I saw it there, and I was like, I've always kind of wanted a Saturn, and then I bought the Saturn, and then I wasn't thinking. I bought the Saturn, and then I was like, I should get some games on it. And then I saw the prices for the games, and then I cried.
I was in
because,
a game store in
God
Edmonton.
Damn.
We bought Fighters Megamix, but, like, we have no Saturn. We still don't have a Saturn. We just still have Fighters Megamix, though.
Well, it's like, if you could see it in... I shot a video last year at PAX, and you can see it. I go up to the Saturn games case, and... There's a couple copies of Panzer Dragoon Saga that are in this case, and I think like one of them is $500 or something. It's just absurd. But to be fair, I think Panzer Dragoon Saga is like on record as one of the most rarest games ever, and I think like the sealed version was like $800.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
It's worth every penny. No, probably not. I don't see ever feeling good about investing that much in a video game, unless it's Steel Battalion.
But no, with that game, it's that game was released like on the Saturn was like dead when that game was released, and it's a miracle that it was actually like it got an English translation. So the amount of copies that were released are very hard to find. It is a very difficult to find game, but it's a fantastic game. I've played. Through it, and it's just it throws your perspective of that generation in terms of JRPGs in a different angle, because you're playing this thing that came out I think like roughly around when Final Fantasy VII came out, or between 7 and 8, and it's like fully voiced characters, and it's definitely on the short side. You can blow through it in like 12 hours or so, but it is from a technical perspective, and it's still a turn-based RPG. And it definitely will throw your perspective of what was capable of happening on those consoles at the time. But it's on the Saturn, so nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares about the Saturn.
Sonic 3
like,
Blast.
Saturn.
Oh.
Oh.
That was terrible.
Okay. That's
the
Duke Nukem has a Saturn.
Oh, I think on that note we should
Duke Nukem is sad earn.
Favorite Duke Nukem quote. Now, make it up.
I actually do have one from Duke Nukem Forever that I actually enjoyed. Like right in the beginning of the game, you're some crap in some a toilet, and you can like pick it up, and like Duke will actually like say out loud like, "Why am I doing this?" I thought that was kind of funny because I was making him pick up shit.
Yeah, and I like the idea that he registers that even this is below his standard.
Yeah.
Now, but, if he was throwing that shit at a couple of titties, that might be something.
I'm sure you can do that in the game somewhere.
It's a different game, Vaughn.
Like
Duke Nukem 5 ever.
You know what the crazy thing is? That it's called Forever because originally, like, the way that they were naming the games was that the third game was Duke Nukem 3D, and like the fourth game was going to be Duke Nukem Forever. So like, the letter was a play on words of what entry it is. So what are they going to do with 5?
Second game, Duke Nukem too legit to quit.
When I heard that Duke Nukem Forever was actually supposed to be like a 4, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because I had gone my whole life not knowing that.
Completely forgot the origins of this game.
The next game is just an on-rails documentary of the development.
I think the next Duke Nukem game should take place in the same universe, but from the perspective of someone who's not Duke Nukem, who's just pissed about talking about Duke Nukem all the time.
It should be this guy who's like really totally stoked. He's gonna finally meet Duke Nukem today, and then with all this shit
total
going
douchebag.
On, and then he finds out what Duke Nukem's doing. Just by the end of the game, he's like, "Fuck this guy!"
And the
why?
Final boss is Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
There's no shooting involved. You just have to be in a room with him and tolerate him.
You press the.
So you just that's the last part. It's like, how long can you sit in this room without killing yourself? Somehow he just does one liner after one liner over and over again.
I think there should be a little bit where you get to bitch him out, pressing the right kind of buttons that you want to say.
That's when the Kinect functionality will come in.
Yeah,
that actually sounds
kind of cool. Order Garrus to go somewhere.
So awful.
Did you hear that? Did you hear like the 10th anniversary Halo remake is gonna have like Kinect support? Like
yeah,
how the fuck does that work? Like you're sitting there like shouting like grenade.
And then the enemies run out of the way because they hear you shouting grenade.
Goddamn Master Chief announcing what he's doing again. Well, it's better than sitting around screaming biotic over and over again, or what is it like? Mass Effect. Just, you know what I've liked about Kinect support for Mass Effect 3 would be if they actually like replaced the voice of Shepard with like my own voice that spoke.
So like you then read it and then it just repeats it back to you?
Yes.
And it just shows him talking with your voice?
And then I go out of my way to make my voice like something fucked up or something, and then it's No, you play the game drunk.
Like, why?
And then everyone is super serious, and then you can record like the part of dialogue, and it's like, you know, we have 10 minutes to get out of here. Hey, man, shut up.
Well, that actually would be kind of neat. I mean, because you take a look at something like Uncharted 2, and in the multiplayer, they kind of geared that towards really giving you freedom for machinima kind of stuff. So when you are in the voice chat and you're talking in multiplayer, the character's mouse do flap around with the words that you're saying.
Yeah, that goes back
that's
to
nuts.
Like Rainbow Six did that too, Vegas.
So that would actually be kind of really cool to see from Mass Effect 3 if they did that instead of just the stupid text prompt.
Stupid text prompt.
Hate
using text. A controller.
And honestly, why a Kinect? I know this has been brought up, but why a Kinect when you can just do that with the regular microphone?
Because, dude, you can push your hands out and you can expand the gun and you can look at things and you can wave your hands around and I have no fucking idea.
I think that's just because, you know, since there are people that are out there that bought the Kinect, this is Microsoft's way of saying, look, we are trying to use this.
It does more than just dancing.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how people are complaining that there's Kinect support in these games, yet if you look at the Wii or something and they say, where are all the good motion stuff? You know, people say like, oh, I don't want motion, but I want good motion.
Yeah, but Aussie, the Wii, you can actually like use it and you can like do things with it versus the Kinect in which like you try in terms of usability.
I think
people are complaining about.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying.
I think you can use the Kinect in good ways. I just think they haven't done anything that is good with it. Ridiculous that they try to shove things in games you can do with software that or hardware that you already have that isn't even a Kinect, and they're just making it Kinect exclusive.
They need to give you reasons to like buy these games and buying Kinect together with them. Like it's more of case of we need to make everything use it instead of just we want to ruin these games and this is the only way you can play them.
Because when you dance by yourself with a controller, it just looks weird, and that's why you need a Kinect.
Well, that stuff is...
What I'm trying to get at is where the hell is Busta Groove? Where is that franchise? Busta Groove 3, come on, Kinect, let's do it.
It's like long dead because...
Down, up, don't ruin my dream, Bon. Don't ruin my dream.
Also, Kinect, let me talk real quick. Let me talk real quick about how it's bullshit that Fruit Ninja Kinect is included in the Summer of Arcade, because nobody owns a Kinect that will take advantage of... I mean, not nobody, but very little people own a Kinect that will take advantage of that 5-game refund thing they always do, and I've done that for the last 2 years, and now I won't do it because I'll end up buying a game that I cannot even play.
Well, you remedy that by buying a Kinect.
They don't
size.
Give you a refund, though.
Yeah,
they don't even give you a refund.
Jeez.
Yeah, they just give you a free game this time.
Yeah.
That they already pick for you. I never even heard about it until I read that press release, but...
What's the free game?
Hang on, I'll look it up.
It looks like some sort of Diablo-type game from the screenshot I saw.
What?
I don't know, it's... I never heard of it until then either, so I don't know what it is.
They offered Undertow once for free after they had Xbox Live outage during the holidays. So that's why we should look forward to all online outages, because apparently we get free things.
Yeah. We should try to bring down the networks more often.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yay!
Let's call our hacker group.
I kind of think that we should continue to do that until we get some good games offered to us for free.
Infamous and Little Big Planet are good games.
Not Little Big Planet, but I will agree with you.
Infamous.
I like Infamous. Infamous doesn't do...
The name of that game they give you with the Summer of Arcade is Crimson Alliance, and yeah, it does kind of look
Never.
Like Diablo.
Oh. Something to look for. Now, Infamous doesn't give the very best first impression, I thought. And then, like, I think that game gets considerably better over time. But
it's kind of like Assassin's Creed 1, where it's like, it has this cool traversal stuff, but it's so repetitive and it gets boring so quickly that...
Infamous 1 is a much better game than Assassin's Creed
1. Yeah.
No, it is. No, I'm not saying it
isn't. If you get into the powers and stuff, that game can get a lot of fun.
I'm just saying it feels like that where, aside from the direct story missions, it feels like I'm just doing the same thing in a different spot. And that's how Assassin's Creed 1 was.
I feel like Infamous 2 feels even more like that than Infamous 1 did, because Infamous 2 is all combat, whereas Infamous 1 did have some platforming sections, and there'd be some story missions that would take you to places that weren't on the world map, whereas everything on Infamous 2 takes you to places that you can go outside of the mission.
Yeah, and you bring up the Assassin's Creed comparison, and I'm going to say something kind of bold here. I love Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood, but jumping back into Infamous again recently, I really like how that game does the parkour, the traversal stuff, from a mechanic level. I never get a problem like I do with Assassin's Creed, in which it's like I'm rounding a corner and I'll jump onto something that I wasn't ready to jump up onto. Like, I always feel like I have a much tighter control with Infamous.
Yeah, that I can understand, but I think the whole, like, the way the traversal works when you're on top of buildings, like the speed that you can go is really great, and that's kind of better to get around than in Assassin's Creed. But I think actually climbing buildings in Infamous 1, because it's the only one I played, I think it's pretty bad. Like, when you're just hitting X to jump, you're like sliding up the building in jump animation. It looks terrible.
It's the exact same thing in Infamous.
I think it looks awful. I think it's terrible.
It might look awful, but I'm talking about purely, again, I'm talking about purely from a mechanical point of view. I never got the problem like I do on so many times while playing Assassin's Creed 2, in which I'll jump onto something that I was not expecting to. I never have a situation while playing through the first Infamous in which I always miss or I screwed up or something like that. And what's interesting about going back and playing Infamous is that recently I played through the Sly Collection, and it's really weird going through the game. You know, it's from the same developer, Sucker Punch, but it's really weird playing through Sly 2 and Sly 3 and then going back into Infamous, and you start to see, not from just a design perspective, but again from a mechanic perspective, like how similar those games are. And I've read online, like, when they were prototyping Infamous, the first one, how they were they were running it off of like some form of the original Sly engine, and that completely makes sense.
Well, yes, I agree. Yummy. I mean, I don't know. I played the Sly game so long ago that I can't even like compare what's similar about them in my head.
You can go back and play through Sly 2 and Sly 3, and it becomes once you do a jump onto one of those like zip lines across the building, you see it immediately. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
They're both open world games.
Like, in general, what you're saying about the
about infamous is that you were hugging something as soon as you were jumping onto it.
Right, and that's what I was trying to bring up.
I couldn't.
You didn't like that?
No.
Yeah, and there's some parts in Assassin's Creed where if you jump on buildings at an angle, you just won't latch onto anything, and
right,
you don't really have that.
Yeah, I never off of it.
I never had that problem with Infamous.
But I think in general, I enjoy the Assassin's Creed franchise much more than the Infamous franchise.
Yeah.
So
yes,
I never even really thought about it.
I'll agree to that. Except you bring up Assassin's Creed 1, and I couldn't stand Assassin's Creed 1.
I hate Assassin's Creed 1. Yeah. And I almost didn't play Assassin's Creed 2, but I'm glad I did because I loved
it. Yeah,
that
same.
Game.
I was the same way, like playing through the first game. Like halfway through, I wanted it to be over. I was just like, I don't want to even see another building or climb another tower or whatever. Like, oh man.
It's just the thing. I think
Raymond,
it was when...
am I right?
I think when Assassin's Creed came out, I think what they were trying to do was they were trying to make Prince of Persia mixed with Hitman, and it didn't really work because all of the assassination missions, the 9-1 set up through the main plot, where you were able to just assassinate the main target and escape with no one seeing you, like in Hitman. But the game doesn't communicate this to you, and it's easy enough to just go and fight all the guards and kill the guy, so a lot of players just never end up even attempting the silent assassination style. So they just abandon that for the sequel.
It's also something telling about the second game, and one of the major reasons why I like the second game so much is that it divorced itself so heavily from a lot of design decisions from the first game, and you don't see that a lot with sequels. You see developers trying to do better than they did last time, but the way that that game handles missions, like it's a completely different game, and I felt like
the overall pacing is better.
It went after every issue I had with the first game, like a surgical knife going at some dude. It was so precise of it trying to clean up after itself. The story had context again. Like the first game had like no context at all. Missions were way more fleshed out. Like everything just felt like it felt like an honest attempt from the developer, like going at criticism and fixing itself. And I just don't see that enough a lot in games these days.
And I really liked the increased focus on Desmond as well. Like some people complain about that, but I think I'd
like
be perfectly fine with them creating an entire game that just takes place in the future with Desmond for Assassin's Creed 3.
I'm expecting it to happen. I want it to happen soon.
I'm excited about Revelations or what the next Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Revelations.
Evil Revelations.
Revelations.
Yeah. Oh no.
This
Revelations
is
the game.
Year of Revelation, my
Revelation.
Friend.
There can only be one Revelation.
The Rapture did happen.
That's what you think.
That is true.
What if Assassin's Creed and Resident Evil take place in the same universe, and that is the Templar conspiracy? They're actually the Umbrella Corporation.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. I don't even
know. No.
Okay. This is really important that we end the podcast on that note.
So, you know...
Food for thought.
What did we learn today?
3D makes everything better.
Oh, and we also learned... to blow out your ass! No, seriously. You should do that.
That's gotta be the... I think you should end the podcast with the blow it out your ass line.
Yes.
Alright.
Okay,
You're getting editing feedback.
Done.
So, good night. Thank you guys for doing this podcast
Bye.
With me. And
certainly.
Hopefully we'll do it again next week.
Schedule? Are you crazy?
We're gonna try, dammit. We're gonna try.
Oh, okay, fine.
We had a lot to cover in that one.
That was good.
How long was it? No, how much did I miss?
You missed like
7 years worth.
You just missed Resident Evil Mercenaries discussions. So. And like the second half, the second half of our extremely long Sonic the Hedgehog discussion.
Oh yeah, it had.
Sorry, I sat that out. Do you know that I've got every achievement in Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Sonic & Knuckles? Well, now you know.
I got all the achievements in the Ultimate Genesis Collection.
And then I was going to go for the achievements in Sonic Adventure, and then I realized it's Sonic Adventure, and then I went outside.
Thank you.